following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning. Again, did I already say it once? Boy, you can tell I took Erica to the airport for her 6:45 flight. I can't remember what I said 3 minutes ago. Good morning for the third time. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg. I have the privilege and the joy of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. It's good to be back home. Erica and I were away for a little over a week down in California for U.S. Thanksgiving. We drove down with Posey. We took our time on the way down, driving 101, the Oregon coast, which kind of felt like a necessary thing for us to see because it seems like two-thirds of our congregation is on the Oregon coast at some point during the year. And so, you know, now we have a reference point for that. We know what you're talking about when you talk about how beautiful it is. But it was really great to get to do that and take our time and just spend some time together. Erica and I, when we fly down and are there for the whole time, it's just busy with lots of us. Even if we're not doing a lot, there's just lots of people around. And so it was really nice for Erica and I to have some time, just the two of us, and Posey sitting and sleeping on laps and all those kinds of things. She found her favorite spot, which was her bed tipped on its side under my arm because I couldn't hold her up, sleeping like this for hours at a time. It was something. And then on the way back, we stopped in Sacramento, where Erica's grandparents live, so it was really great to see them. And we went and we visited and stayed overnight with one of our friends who works at a huge Covenant Church down there called Bayside. Their worship leader's name is Lincoln Brewster. We actually sing some of his songs periodically. And so it was cool to be in that and be in that that context. They were in their second week of their sermon series, Walking Towards Christmas, and they titled it, All I Want for Christmas. And so one of their teaching pastors, yeah, that's right, he was a man named Andrew McCourt, and he had this wonderful Irish accent that actually made us think of Brian Ross every time he spoke. We're like, oh, it's like Brian up there. A little bit younger, not much, but a little bit. But it was just really, really neat to be there. And cool then to have that experience and then to be back here and kind of jump into everything running. We got back Tuesday and then there was council meeting and then there was another meeting on Thursday and other stuff going on. It was a busy week, but it was an exciting week to jump right back into things. And so this week, we're continuing in our Advent series. Advent, as we've heard this morning in our reading, is about hope. And it's about anticipation. And it's about preparation for the coming King. It's about preparing ourselves for the Savior. Often I know that I will tend to think of Advent as this happy, even kind of light time as we walk towards the birth of Jesus. But the truth is that this season requires us to recognize the darkness and the fallenness and the sin in our own lives and in the world. As we await the coming of our Savior, we wouldn't need a Savior if everything was good, if everything was light and was happy. And so to truly prepare for the coming of Jesus, for his birth, it requires that we acknowledge the need first and foremost for change, for preparation, for forgiveness of that sin and brokenness. And so in that acknowledgement, then, we can anticipate Christmas Day. And this is a time for me where there is a really important distinction between expectation and anticipation. And you may have heard me talk about that before. I know that I've heard it talked about 1,000 times, well, 5 times at least. The director that I had at Pilgrim Pines, my boss at Pilgrim Pines for 5 years, he would give the same speech to the summer staff every summer. So he would sit everybody down, usually the first day or so that we were there, the summer staff was there, And he would ask the summer staff to suspend their expectations and then to enter into the summer with anticipation. So to take a break from all of the things that they wanted, that they were looking forward to, all the things that they expected from the summer, and go into it more open than that. Go into it anticipating that greater things were going to happen, anticipating that the miraculous was going to happen, that God was going to be at work in ways that they couldn't even expect. So anticipation includes hope. It includes maybe curiosity. It includes a willingness to be okay with things not as we expect, but being far better. Jesus was not the Savior that many expected him to be. He was not the military, political figure that many Jews expected. But those who were willing to suspend that expectation and instead anticipate that God could do exceedingly more than they could have ever expected, these people were able to encounter the real Jesus, the real Savior that they needed. And so that sense of anticipation is what we continue with in this second week of Advent. And with anticipation comes the need for preparation. And so we have two texts for today. The first is Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And the second is Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. So you can turn first to Malachi 3 in your Bibles or Bible apps. And Dave is waving Bibles at me from the back, which means that if you raise your hand and would like a Bible, either just for today to read now or to bring home and keep, please do that, and he would be happy to bring you one. We got more in the mail, so there's lots of them to go around. You don't all have to share the one that our basket had dwindled down to. It's a good thing when the basket of Bibles to give away dwindles down, isn't it? Like that's an exciting thing. I hope that I have to renew that order all the time. I had to sit on the chat with Amazon to figure it out, because I ordered 10 black Bibles, because they, you know, I wanted them all to be the same color, and they sent me 9 that all looked the same, and then one maroon one that looked nothing like it. It had different, like, it was the same version. So that was good. They got that part right, but everything else was different. And then, I don't understand. So I went back and made sure that I didn't make the mistake, and I didn't. And they corrected it. They did a good job of it. But I'm happy to sit on that chat with Amazon all the time if it means that we're giving away lots and lots of Bibles, because it's good for everyone to have the Word of God. So let me pray for us, and we'll dive into Scripture together. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we gather to worship you, to worship in song, in prayer, in the reading and the opening of your word, and in communion. God, I ask your presence with us this morning. I ask that it is your word that we hear this morning, that you would not leave us here unchanged, but that we might know you more, that we might be filled by your Holy Spirit, and be able to more closely follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. And Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So in both the reading from Malachi and the reading from Matthew, we hear about this need to be ready, to be prepared. For Malachi, that is the work of someone to come. Malachi is prophesying to the Israelites that someone is coming who will do a work of refining and cleansing. And it will be refining with the fire that a gold and silver refiner uses, melting down the raw gold or silver ore, the rock that is full of other things, other rocks and minerals that are kept, that are keeping the gold and silver from being pure. The refiner's fire takes care of that impurity. It purifies those things. And the soap of a launderer is not a mild soap. It's a soap that's meant for deep cleaning, for laundry. Malachi. Spell check just killed me on this thing. Malachi is speaking to some real deep, harsh cleansing and refining that needs to be done. He is speaking to someone who has the power and the authority to do that kind of refining. The other night at our council meeting, we were talking about Advent hymns and the acknowledgement that there is indeed a difference between Christmas carols and Advent songs. It's a subtle difference, but there's a difference. But it's a difference that often gets overlooked as people's excitement to jump into the Christmas season skips over the preparation piece that we're talking about today, that we're talking about throughout Advent. And there's a song that many of you know that actually takes some of today's text, particularly the Malachi text, to heart. And that's The Messiah by George Friedrich Handel. In fact, just last night, I learned there was a sing-along version of this at the White Rock Baptist Church with the Vancouver Bach Choir. So it's this beautiful, powerful piece of music. And the Hallelujah Chorus is certainly the most well-known movement of this greater work. It's used all over the place in movies and TV, etc., and largely for entertainment, which is a little bit interesting because I don't think that Handel would have been particularly pleased with it being used just for entertainment. And you'll hear a little bit more of why in a little bit. But this whole work, The Messiah, is based on Scripture, particularly Scripture that leads us towards the birth of Christ. And so I'm going to play little portions, or I'm going to play all of two movements and then a portion of a second one because it's a little bit long. But see if you can hear the Scripture that Handel is using in these pieces.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake, and I will shake. All nations I shake, the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, all nations I shake, and the divine. Shall suddenly come to his temple in the messenger of the covenant whom he delighted. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Maybe you got it? Here's the third one. So did you catch it? Yeah? Each of those three movements were the first three verses of the Malachi passage that we read earlier, verses Malachi 3, verses 1 to 3. So the choir and the soloists are singing the words of Scripture that promises the coming of a messenger, and then words that talk about the cleansing and the refining that is to come. Words that talk about the need everyone has for this cleansing and this refining. And this was really at the heart of what Handel was wanting to communicate through this masterpiece. And that this music really challenges and forces people to reflection and to change. So after the first time that this was presented in London in 1741, Handel wrote to a friend, "I should be very sorry if I only entertained them. I wished to make them better. I should be very sorry if I only entertained them. I wished to make them better." Handel, he wrote a sermon. in this piece of music. He opened up scripture in this piece of music. And he challenges me and he challenges us to go beyond just the good feelings that come at Christmas time and urge us towards doing good, toward being good, towards personal preparation, and really towards the kind of preparation that Matthew talks about in the verses that we read from the gospel this morning. And that's at the heart of what Malachi is trying to say to the Israelites. He's trying to make them better. He's trying to get them to be prepared. He's trying to make them aware of what is coming and who is coming, and that is amazing and incredible and life-changing. But he also knows that that's not going to be easy, that the change, that the purification, the refining, and the cleansing will not be easy, that it will be difficult to endure, because it is far more than people can do themselves. Matthew's gospel takes us to a time beyond what Malachi is prophesying towards. He tells us Jesus' own words for the future, for the time that Jesus will come again. The preparation that Malachi speaks of continues to be needed, but now it is ongoing. It's a continual state of preparedness that Jesus calls us to, a continual state of expectation and anticipation. Largely, I think we live in a world of ups and downs when it comes to preparation and anticipation, right? We work towards one thing, and then it's done, and then we work towards another thing, and it's done. It's kind of these ups and downs of preparation. And we know that thing that we're working towards in the future, where we see the date, whether we know what the exact date is or not, we work towards that goal in preparation. There's not a lot on TV on Friday or Saturday night, like late Friday or Saturday night. So a few weeks ago, I was working on something, probably my sermon, after the hockey games or football games or whatever, you know, kind of regular sports were on, had ended. And so on TSN came UFC, Ultimate Fighting. Not my favorite sport to watch. And I'm realizing now just how crazy it is that I just played Handle for you, and now I'm talking about Ultimate Fighting. This may or may not be the most eclectic sermon you will ever hear. But I found myself really intrigued by the story of one of the fighters, one of the athletes, as the announcers kind of told more about him. I'm not all that knowledgeable about UFC or even boxing, but apparently the typical fighter takes months and months and months to prepare for their bout. They schedule that fight a long time in advance, and then they work really hard towards that goal, to be ready for that date. They prepare and they prepare and they prepare for the coming of that one specific date, and then they do it all over again. I wish I had written his name down, but at the time, I couldn't for the life of me think why I would be using UFC as a sermon illustration, so I don't have his name. But the one fighter I watched that evening goes about things in a very different way. He's basically always prepared for a fight. And so he ends up competing far more, sometimes on a week or 2 weeks' notice, because he's just in that kind of shape that he can handle it. And so because of that, he gets way more bouts, which means he earns way more money, and he's able to climb the ranks quicker than some of his peers. So he keeps himself in this perpetual state of preparedness, anticipating the next date that will come up. And so then he can take those opportunities. I think we can learn a lot from this guy. I think we can learn a lot about what Jesus tells us about his return, about how important it is to remain constantly prepared for his coming. It allows us then to be more open and more willing to see and to hear the signs of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, when we are constantly preparing for him. It also then forces us every single day to prepare as if he were coming tomorrow, so that we are actively, on an ongoing basis, living out what Jesus taught us. Jesus tells us in this Matthew text flat out that we are not to get hung up on the when. Even Jesus doesn't know the when. The angels don't know the when. Only the Father knows when. And so the when to us should not matter. We should be living our lives constantly preparing for the coming of Jesus. And so in this season, there are so many ways to remember and to be mindful of the living the life that Jesus teaches, loving God and loving others as we love ourselves. I saw a couple of friends post on Facebook the idea of a reverse Advent calendar, where every day, instead of taking a treat or a Lego out of a box, we'd put a canned item into a box to give to the food bank. Last night, we heard about the amazing things that Youth Unlimited is doing with young families in North Surrey, the ways they're changing lives, the ways they're helping end the cycle of poverty here in our own city of Surrey, and the ways that they're sharing the good news of Jesus with those folks. Just weeks ago, we identified those six visionary initiatives that are all ways that we can be working on living this out, all things that we can be mindful of as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. You heard about the steps that we already have in action as we are looking at adopting a refugee family. And tomorrow night, our Vitality team is going to be working on getting the ball rolling on our other initiatives. All of these are great ways to be actively preparing for the coming of Jesus. And again, I want us to remember that this is a season of anticipation. It is not a season for our own expectations, but a season where our hopes and our dreams are set aside for the one who hopes and dreams for us. For the one who makes everything possible, for the one who was born as a tiny baby in a manger, who lived and taught and performed miracles, who died on the cross and rose 3 days later. Anticipate the miraculous through Jesus Christ our Lord. Holy God, we thank you for the words of your servant Malachi, who reminds us that you sent messengers to refine us and to cleanse us. We thank you, God, for your Son Jesus Christ, for the example he is, for the way he teaches us every day, and most of all, for his sacrifice on the cross for us. Father God, help us to be mindful of your coming. Help us to be preparing ourselves always for you, each and every day. We pray this all in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.